Mr. Charlie Chia in Reel 13.
I arrived back in Brunei town in the evening. First place I went to was the shop house where I occupied. I noticed it had received a direct hit at the rear portion where I slept. Then a few belongings which I had left behind were all scattered. I did not waste any time trying to retrieve whatever I could. I then made my way to the sawmill site and distributed the money to those few workmen there. There were also nobody in the sick house. I do not know what happened to them. I was told by my cook was there. Was told by my cook that one of the carpenters was in the toilet. Over my side, you see. And he was in the toilet when the house received a direct hit. And he's dead in the toilet, you see. I did not go and verify for myself. After which I left them. I went to another Chinese friend who is also a relative of the Kong family, who I knew had a house on the waterfront. And therein, I passed the night with him in his place. And the next morning, we took a small boat, and he paddled it across to this Kong's house further up the river. So I stayed with them. The Eurasian boys and Snowball had all evacuated and stayed with the Kong family. During those last days, the Kong family, of course, the mother, the sister, and the two elder brothers, and all that, they evacuated further upstream where they had another house. So one of the brothers remained behind with us. Then later on, a couple of days later, Eurasian boy came back. We were in the house. We passed the night. Then early in the morning, we heard this shelling outside the town. So we all thought, there, here lies. They've come, they've arrived. Those must be their warships outside. So these Eurasian boys, they were pretty enterprising. So they got hold of a sampan. They rolled out, you see, they rolled out. And they went on board. this battlecraft. After some time, the shelling stopped. Then the soldiers must have landed. We gave them a bit of time. So these Eurasian boys were still out. They did not return yet. So I and one of the brothers, we got into a boat. We came down to town. And therein we met these Australian soldiers. So they went their way. We went, the brother told me, there's a rice store there. I said, okay, there's a rice store. We went to a rice store. We carried what we could. Then we brought it back to the house. We came back, I came back to the town again. There I met up with these Australian soldiers. They inquired about my details and where I was from. Where were the Japanese soldiers? Oh, I said, they've gone long time ago already. You don't find any more Japanese soldiers in town. They've all gone down merry way, you see. So they asked me to report back again next morning where they would evacuate me. So next day went down again. So we before we come to that, I'll say the diet that we had whilst in my whilst with the Kong family on the island. Morning, we had this sago flour for breakfast. You know, they just made this sago flour like into, put it in a pot, and then you use you had some belacan there. You use your chopstick just to roll the sago around your chopstick. You dip it in the belacan, you see. I mean, those days, you never thought about your likes or dislikes as regards food. Food was food. As far as you were concerned, it was something to fill your stomach. You see, there were no qualms about it. If you tried, you just go without. Well, I had three meals a day with the family. They were quite decent people. They were sympathetic to us. They gave us a shelter, and they gave us food also. Until the arrival of the Allies, you see. After that, we left them. I reported to the army authorities. They arranged for evacuation. They took us to Brunei. They took us to Labuan. They had already occupied Labuan. I understand, with the exception of the northern portion, whereby they had driven the military, Japanese military, to the northern portion, and there they had surrounded them, you see. And we went in a landing craft troops, LCT. We were driven to the camp for all refugees. There we were fed. I stayed there for a few days until they made arrangements for me to be transported to the advance headquarters. So after a few days, they sent me down to it was back to Morotai again, and therein they had the advanced headquarters there. I was asked to work in the naval section, and I slept in one of the tents together with three other Australian soldiers, you see. I was there for a few months. Had quite a nice time. Got up in the morning, if feel like it, went for breakfast. If I don't feel like it, just went straight to work. Afternoon, went for lunch. After that, back again. Evening time was the same thing. Then went back again at about 8 over. Or if we wanted to go to a show, we went to a show. Okay. I made friend with the postal lance corporal. Oh, he had plenty of cookies and goodies. So I used to, he was only a few doors away, so I used to drop in. And then he said, I have something for you. Give me one of these box of cakes, which is sent by the relatives, parents, sisters, and girlfriends, wives, and all that, which they couldn't trace. So he had plenty of this leftovers. So he gave it to me. He said, go, enjoy yourself. And also, it was a good thing, my next then neighbor, he was the sergeant in the cookhouse. Of course, so we had a nice time, you see. Night time, okay, I used to bring my cookie down. So, used to make cocoa, whatever it is. Because he can get it so easy, you see, being in the cookhouse. So more or less every night we used to gather and yarn, and beer was rationed once a week, cigarettes also, you know. So once a week we all pool our beer together, and another once a week again we bought a beer on the black market. It was because some of these Australian soldiers did not drink, and they sold their beer on the black market, you see. So we carried on. It was quite an enjoyable time. There was no other transport than military vehicles on the island. The aerodrome was close by. And now and then, I used to, in the evenings, I used to stroll down to the American base. And oh, they had plenty of beer there. I went to the officer's hut, made friends with some American officers. I went to their hut. So we talked about our experiences and so forth, you see, over a glass of beer and some tidbits, you see. So after that, I walked back myself, you see. Then after some time working there in the advanced headquarters, they asked me if I would volunteer to go down to Australia and do parachuting. The idea was to parachute me back into Malaysia. So I said, well, I have nothing to lose, so why not gain another experience? So was waiting to go down south. Then came the news, the Japanese were surrendering, right? So the trip was cancelled. So I remained. The officers there were very kind to me. So when the surrender came, was officially confirmed, they again asked me, how would I like to go to Hong Kong? To fly to Hong Kong with the RAPWI, RAPWI, repatriation of allied prisoners of war and internees. I said, well, why not? I said, that could be a good experience. So they asked me, okay, get new set of clothing, draw a revolver, and get prepared to go at any time on short notice. So I drew up new set of army uniforms, drew my revolver and all that. I waited. But meanwhile, there was an Australian soldier in the camp who came to hear about it. Of course, he felt jealous. He said, damn it all, what has these people got to do with Hong Kong? I got my father there as an internee. I'm more entitled to go. So he kicked out hell of us. So last minute, I was withdrawn. I do not know whether he went or not, eventually. So I was withdrawn. So withdrawn, all right. Pack up, we waited for my next destination, you see. In that camp, there were all sorts of people. I met up with American Chinese, Australians, British soldiers, and I also corresponded with a Chinese girl in Sydney. We made friends through exchange of letters, and I also was able to send a letter home tell my people I'm safe and sound, should be coming back any time. Waited some time after the surrender, and we were sent down to Harma Hills, which is half, I think halfway to Australia. There was a big base camp there, you see. That base camp was where the Allied armies received the surrender of the Japanese high command for the whole area south. And after that, just waited in Harma Hills for transport back to Singapore. You see, because there was nothing else we could do. So they put us on the first available ship coming down to Singapore. Therein I landed back again in Singapore sometime in September.
Which year?
1945.
When did you receive the news of the Japanese surrender?
The Japanese officially surrendered in August. I think it was middle of August they surrendered. A few days before then, already we heard rumors in the camp of the impending surrender. Okay.
So when you first arrived back in Singapore, how did you feel?
Oh, well, the first thing, I arrived back in Singapore with not a single bit of any civilian clothing. All that I had on was my army suits plus the army blankets. That's all. The army boots. I had two pairs of these army boots. See?
So, what were your feelings when you...
My feelings when I arrived back was one of joy, of course, you see. And well, happy to be still alive and kicking. And sad for those who have passed away. And I did not have much money. Whatever money I had was in, I think they paid me in the Dutch currency whilst working in the advance headquarters, you see. Well, that's about all I had left, you see. Because whatever I drew, he went on the luxuries, you see, chocolates or what have you. Because this was something which I had not tasted for years. So there was never enough of it. You know, I enjoyed good food while I was there. The food was not bad. We had bakers in the morning. Huh? Or scrambled eggs. Lunch again. You had the meat and whatnot. Just went down, the cooks were there, they just, the dishes were all laid out, just like a buffet party. Just help yourself to whatever you want. And sat on the benches and had your meal. See, there was always sufficient to go around.
So how was life in Singapore like during the early months of the British military administration?
Well, you can see from the people's expression on their faces, you see. They were so happy about it that the Allies had at last come after all this time of waiting, let's say. Of course, there were rumors of clashes between the Chinese and the Malays, but I did not see any of this happen, you see.
What about the food situation and the prices of food in Singapore at that time?
Well, at that time, it was still cheap, see. When the Allies came back, first thing they did was to ensure that there was sufficient rice. And they asked the people to carry on normally. All were asked to report back for work.
So
things slowly went back to normal. At the beginning, it was under the British military administration called the BMA. It was 1 year after the, almost 1 year after the landing, when they handed back the administration to the civilian government.
During the British military administration, was it difficult to buy things or to get jobs?
Well, it was not difficult to buy things, you see. Not difficult to buy things. I think they ensured that there was sufficient of the necessities for the people. Rice, sugar, salt. These are the basic. And therein, of course, they had this, all the army rations. What is the word they use, you see? They were compact, you see? So to lighten the weight, you see? So it, things that very slowly get back onto normal.
Mm. What about jobs for people?
Jobs also, well, of course, insofar as the government departments were concerned, there was no problem. But therein, they started a new department known as the rationing, you see, whereby everyone was assured of his fair share of the rations.
From an observation of the people around you, did you think it was difficult for them to adjust back to life under the BMA when they had been under the Japanese for?
No. There was no difficulty in adjusting themselves to the change of administration back to the British government. And you could see there was that more or less sigh of relief that the bad dream had been over and that they could now begin to lead.